All right, I just have a couple of quick announcements. If you are not a member of River of Hope and would like to take our classes, we have them coming up. Today is the last day to sign up, though. After today, I'm going to get all of our information together. We will be doing them Wednesday evenings. Most of the people who signed up said Wednesday evenings work best. So we'll be doing those Wednesday evenings here towards the end of the month. So if you haven't signed up, sign up today. Also, if you have not been baptized as a believer and are looking forward to that, please, if you are interested in that, please come talk to me. If you are worried about getting dunked in a lake, which some people have expressed concern about that, we are looking at moving it to the hotel. We're going to, or possibly New Life said that we could possibly go use their church. They have a baptismal tank right there. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to try to move it away from the lake. So if you have concerns about being dunked in the lake, we're looking at moving it. So please don't let that hold you back. Andrea, please talk with your kids about baptism. Church backyard sign up, backyard barbecues. We still have a few dates available. If you'd like to host a backyard barbecue, please sign up. So, 12 noon, July 28th. I expect all the men to be there. Plus, if there's an easier way to invite someone to come in, I don't know what it is, man. We're going to feed you, give you soda, and play horseshoes, man. You should be able to bring a bunch of guys to come do this. So we're looking forward to that. And Andrea wants to say a couple things about camp, and then so we'll let her do that.
I actually promised only a couple things. So really quick, next Sunday is middle school camp. Yay! So excited. So that means we will meet here about noon, 12:15. So, hey, you know what? If Pastor Josh is still preaching, great. Just grab your middle schoolers, grab all their stuff, bring it to church, and we will head to Abbotsford. They will be gone until the 13th at about 5:30, 5:45. So I'll definitely keep in touch with you. If you have not registered, you still want to register your middle schoolers, please, please, please do it. They're almost at max right now.
Dear Heavenly Father, we can't thank you enough for everything, for who you are, for all you have done. As those words say, 'tis so sweet to trust in you that you have proven yourself over and over and time again. Lord, we claim your promise as we give back to you what is yours, that then you will then bless us because of it. And we give back, not begrudgingly, but with an open heart. And we pray that you would multiply this money and that you would help us carry forth the mission of this church, that is to create disciples, to reach the lost, and to take back the city of Medford. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this was not the sermon series I had planned on doing. I had it all set up. I was so ready to go. It was even on the church calendar on the computer. I had to go change it all. I was praying about it, and God kept saying, hey, you know that series you have set to go? They're not ready to hear it. I'm like, yeah, they are. They're like, God's like, nope. I'm like, no, you don't understand. They're ready. And I got reading in my daily reading, and God showed me something, and I was like, wow, God, I said, that's really important to have this foundation. And I was like, that kind of sounds like that game Jenga. Then God's like, boop. He's like, this is the sermon series I want you to do. Call it the games we play. We're going to talk about board games for the next few weeks. And the first board game we're going to talk about is Jenga. I hated this game. Mainly because when I play a game, I have to win. I am so ultra competitive. And the friend I always played this game with is now an engineer. So I think I know why he beat me. So Jenga is, you would stack these blocks up, one going one way, the other going the other way, and then you would take turns pulling a block out and adding it to the top. So eventually your tower would get higher and higher and higher. But as it got higher, what happens is, as you're pulling the block out, what's happening to the foundation? The foundation's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And if you know anything about building, if you're not putting something on a strong foundation, It's eventually going to collapse in on itself. Foundations are so important that when my brother and sister-in-law bought their new house, they actually jacked it up and dug out a basement and put the house back down in the basement so it was on a better foundation. Our Christian lives are the exact same way. We need to make sure we're built on a strong foundation. So these are the questions we're going to answer today. Number one, why is my foundation so important? Number two, what should my foundation be? Number three, when we're building our structure, what do we need to use? If you use the wrong things, it's not going to work. Of course, what are the results of my actions? And then finally, what am I building on? And what am I building with? Let's go to prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for the wisdom you have given me as you showed me this message. I pray now that this message will go out and touch the lives that needs to touch, and that people will leave here changed. This is all in vain if people aren't changed by this. I pray for the Holy Spirit to move through here, give comfort where is needed, conviction where is needed, but let no person leave not being changed. I want to say welcome real quick. If you're joining us on Facebook Live or listening on a podcast, thank you for joining in. I'm Pastor Josh. I'm the senior pastor. And we're going to just get together and we're going to learn all about our foundation. So, can anybody tell me the difference between these two buildings? Sears Tower and Leaning Tower of Pisa? Do you know what the major difference between those two is? One is tipping. Very good. These two are both national landmarks. I mean, it's not called the Sears Tower anymore, is it? Okay, well, it was the Sears Tower when I was growing up, so I'm going to call it the Sears Tower. I don't care what it is now. It's still the Sears Tower. Because, yeah. Do you know why the Leaning Tower of Pisa leans? That was not meant to do that. When they started this project, the engineers, you got to love engineers, the engineers miscalculated how much of a base they needed for how much weight they're going to put on top. So as they started building it, the foundation started to give way and the building started to lean. It was known as an engineering disaster when it first happened. They're like, I'm sure people lost their jobs. It has now become this international landmark that people go to. You'll always see them taking the picture. It looks like they're holding it up. But here's the issue. They have to spend thousands of dollars every year keeping this building from collapsing. Now you look at the Sears Tower, which used to be one of the tallest buildings in the world. There's now taller buildings. Look how tall it stands. That's because when the engineers sat down to figure this building out, they said, here's the foundation we need to have for this building to go this high. That is why when we need a foundation, it is so important. Because you are only going to go as high as your foundation will let you. St. Augustine said this. I found this quote. I found it interesting. Do you wish to be great? Then begin by being. Do you desire to construct a vast and lofty fabric? Then first think about the foundations of humility. The higher your structure is to be, the deeper must be its foundation. That's what it all comes down to. If you want to build high, if you want to be great for God, then you need to make sure you have a strong foundation underneath you. Otherwise, you're going to collapse. I guarantee it. In fact, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 7. If you want to turn to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat against the house. And it fell, and great was the fall of that. Now, I've never built a house, but I understand. I live in a trailer. And when they moved the trailer there, the land was so weird where we moved the trailer that the back end of the trailer is 10 feet off the ground. The front end of the trailer is sitting almost on the ground. Now, if you don't know anything about a trailer, that creates an issue. You would literally walk through the thing and it felt like it was going to tip over. So it needed a better foundation. So you know what the guys did for us? This thing's never going to move now because of this. They took heavy steel I-beams and welded it to the bottom of that thing. So it's firm in its foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. By the grace that God was given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, yet will be saved. So you'll suffer a loss. You'll still be saved, but you'll suffer a loss, even though as one escaping through the flames. So why is your foundation so important? Like we said, you're only going to go as high as your foundation will hold. If you want to be great for God, but you're building it on your own strength, you're only going to go as high as your own strength will carry you. If you want to be great for God, you need to be building upon God's strength, not your own. Because I guarantee you what's going to happen. This life is hard. If you haven't realized that yet, you must be a kid. I tell you what, when I was little, all I wanted to do was grow up and be an adult. Now that I'm an adult, I want to go back to being a kid. Because life gets hard very quickly. And if you are counting on what you can do for yourself, when the storms come up, you're going to collapse. But if you're built upon God, when those storms come up, you will fall back into Him. So what should your foundation be? Our foundation is Jesus Christ, the rock. That song. The rock doesn't change. The rock doesn't move. Jesus said, build upon me. Build upon the rock. When the storms come, you'll stand. Our foundation is that Christ died for us. Think about that. As bad as this life gets, if you honestly believe Christ died for your sins and you accept Him as your Savior, this life is as close to hell as you'll ever get. Think about it. You're on an airplane and you're told the airplane's going to go down, so you strap the parachute on, right? And it is the worst ride you've ever been on. And the stewardess comes by and dumps coffee in your lap, and you have hot coffee over your lap. Are you thinking, boy, this is such a horrible ride? Or are you thinking, hey, at least I get the jump pretty soon? Right? You strapped on Christ as your Savior. This is as close to hell as you're going to get, and guess what? Someday you're going to have to jump, and you should be looking forward to it. But if you're not a Christian, if you have not been born again, let me give you this warning. This life, as horrible and bad as it is, this is as good as it's ever going to get for you. That flight you're on, when the stewardess pours the hot coffee in your lap, guess what? You're just seconds away from that plane crashing into a ball of fire. Our hope, our foundation is that Christ died for us. Our righteousness is in Christ. Apart from Christ, we have no righteousness. The Bible tells us our righteousness is as filthy rags. Remember we said put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? That's where it is. That is in Christ. Your righteousness is in Christ. You're standing before an almighty God and viewed righteous because of Christ. Your holiness is in Christ. Because of Christ, you are viewed as holy. Our security is in Christ. Your security is in Christ. Where are you putting your security? Is your security in your job? What happens when that job is gone? Take everything away from me, and I still have Christ. Strip everything away from me, I still have Christ. That's all I need. That's what I'm going to build off of. Our foundation is in Christ. What do we need to build the structure? Now we know where we're rooted. What do we need to build it? And we're going to move on every week. We're going to take apart the gold and the silver, right? What happens when you throw gold and silver through a fire? And hay and stubble into a fire? That fire gets hot enough, it all disappears, right? So we're going to look at building blocks the next few weeks. We're going to take out the bad building blocks and we're going to replace them with the godly building blocks. Here's a few things we need. We should use the Lord to build our house. Let God be growing in you and let God build you up. Because when you puff yourself up, what happens when the rains come? Fall down, right? But if you use your vessel to glorify and let God build you up, nothing can tear you down. We need to use the same material that was already used. And like I said, we're going to get into this more. I just want to give you a little taste. This is more about the foundation. We're going to hit on this pretty hard. Are you using godly things to build yourself back up? In the coming weeks, we're going to look at anger, greed, jealousy. We're going to look at outburst. We're going to look at unforgiveness. We're going to look at true repentance. What are you using to build yourself? We need to take down all the things that we feel matter to us, the corruptible, the things that are going to disappear, and start building for what matters for God. Are you building right now for what matters for God? Or are you worried about your business? Are you worried about how you're going to look? Are you worried about what people think of you? Are you so busy being a chameleon that you're not being a Christian? What I mean by that is, are you changing the essence of who you are depending on who you are with? The people who don't know you, Alexa, the people who don't know you, or your friends at work, do they know you're a Christian? Do you change how you act around them than when you act when you're here? Right? I used to be so worried what people thought about me, I wouldn't talk about God. I don't want to talk about God to them. They'll think I'm one of those holy rowers or those Jesus freaks, right? How can you build something for God when you're so concerned about what other people think about you? Man, I want everybody to know I'm a Christian. I hope that my actions prove it so loud. There's an old saying, if you were ever put on trial for being a Christian, will there be enough evidence to convict you? We can't be building for ourselves. We need to be building for the kingdom. We're going to talk about this next week. We're going to get into greed and to anger. God never once told you you couldn't be wealthy. I'm not saying quit your job. Unless God is calling you to quit your job, don't quit your job. You need to provide for your family. But are you spending more time building your business than you are building for the kingdom? Are you spending more time building these relationships that are going to go nowhere than building for the kingdom? Now, if you're building those relationships so you can reach out to people, that's good. But if you're building relationships just for the fact they have friends, how is that building for the kingdom? What are the results of my actions? If we build on the rock, we will grow tall and strong. The mission of this church, listen, the mission of this church is to get you all strong, believing Christians who are helping to make disciples and to bring people to Christ. The last thing we want is a church full of people who aren't changing. You can go to any church and find that. That is not our mission. Our mission is to grow you up in Christ so you can go make more disciples. And the only way we can do that is with our foundation being laid first. If our foundations are built on the rock, storms are coming. Some of you right now might be in the middle of a storm. Some of you may be like me. I'm up on a mountain peak. I'm enjoying life right now, man. Life could not get much better. And some of you may be down in the valley right now saying, what about me? Right? If you're on the mountain peak right now and you're like, hey, life is great. I can do this all on my own. That valley is coming. Where there's a mountain, there's a valley. And where there's a valley, there's a mountain. If you're on that mountain peak, that valley is coming. And if you're in that valley, that mountain peak is coming again, I promise you. But here's the question. If you are down that valley, are you clinging on to Christ? Or are you trying to pull yourself back up that mountain on your own? And if you're on top of that mountain, are you blessing God and being prepared when you know when the valley comes, you can fall back onto him? If we build upon Christ when the refiner's fire comes, and it is coming, don't be confused. Just because you're a Christian, when you get to heaven, everything's going to be great, right? We still got to go before God. And the Bible tells us very clearly, how hard you work for him here, the more treasures you will have there. I don't know about you, but the Bible talks about when we worship God, that we're throwing crowns at his feet. I want my crown to be so heavy and so laden down that I have to take both hands to throw it to him. That only happens if we take apart and build for him. We build on the rock. Our work, our building will last for eternity. There was a very influential man who lived in the Kobe area, and he loved to say this quote all the time. What a man does for himself will die with him, but what he does for his community will last forever. I hate to disagree with him, but eventually Medford will be gone. Eventually, the state of Wisconsin will be gone. What you do for yourself is going to die for yourself. What you do just for your community is going to die when your community dies. Oh, even if it lasts for another 1,000 years, maybe they'll have a place in the park with your name on it, but people are going to walk by and they're going to say, Roland Johnson? Who's that guy? This park is dedicated to Roland Johnson for all the work he did. What was that? Eventually, people here will forget your name. They will forget who you are. I'm not saying don't work for your community. I'm saying work for your community with one thing in mind. That you're going to work for your community to build relationships so we can reach the community for the lost. Building for God. Because what you do for God will last for eternity. Those people 1,000 years from now may forget Jamie's name, but I tell you what, the God of the universe wrote down Jamie's name in his word of life. And when Jamie gets there, he's going to be embraced by the God who spoke this into being. And everything Jamie did for God will be waiting there for him. Isn't that what we want? We're building on the sand. We're building on anything other than Christ. We will be small and ineffective. You want to grow in Christ? You want to become one of these disciples who do amazing things? We're going to talk about miracles here in a couple weeks. We're going to do a series called When Pigs Fly. God wants to work miracles through us. Do you know that? If you want that to happen, you got to be growing in Christ. You can't grow in Christ if your foundations are wrong. The storms are coming. If your foundation is built in the wrong place, be prepared for the fall. And how great will that fall be? All in vain. Vanity of all vanities, life is vanity. Everything you work so hard for will be gone. Can't take it with you. If you work for Christ, it'll be there. Our work, our building, one day this will be gone. I want to see this building get so huge. I really do. I want it to be so packed. But I want it to be packed with righteous believers. One day this building will be gone. One day the name River of Hope will be erased. If we build it up on God, it'll last for eternity. What am I building on? I want to talk about this the most right now. I was in my truck the other day and I was reading my book. I have about 20 books right now on my Kindle all about small growth, how to be a small church leader. That's what I'm reading about. And as I was reading it, this no duh thing was written down there. It said, a church of 50 is a lot different than a church of 100. And I said, duh. He's like, and then went on to say, no, you don't understand. I mean, it's like literally, like it could have said, Josh, you don't understand. You need to listen. I would have been like, yeah, okay. The dynamics change so dramatically when you go from double digits to triple digits. And I said, huh. And then God spoke to me. He said, Josh, I could grow your church to 100 people overnight tomorrow. But you're not ready. So what do you mean I'm not ready? He said, go to Jonah for me. So I went to Jonah. After Jonah had preached in Nineveh, the weather was hot and God created a plant to grow up and shade him. He said, you are an oak tree, Josh. He said, the people are going to come to you for shade and for comfort and for shelter. Right now, you can provide that for the people in your church. He said, if I would bring in 50 more people looking for shelter and comfort, you couldn't provide that. And guess what would happen? They would all leave again. I said, oh. I said, God, that actually makes a whole lot of sense. He's like, really? You don't think I know what I'm doing by now? I said, no, I understand. And then I said, I said, God, I said, am I going to grow? And he looked at me, he's like, did you have a V8 this morning? Seriously. You know, I was like, he's like, yeah, you're going to grow. And here's why you're going to grow. He said, what would you do if you were getting a phone call right now that said you are no longer the pastor of River of Hope? And I'd say, I would grieve. I would question you. But then I'd ultimately praise you. He said, what would you do if you got a phone call right now that the kids you've been praying for, you're never going to get them? I said, I would grieve. I would question you. Then I would praise you. He said, what would you do if you got a phone call right now? First, you're fired. You're not getting your kids. Now you get a phone call. Your wife is dead. I said, I would grieve. I would question you. But then I would praise you. He said, what would you do if you got a phone call? You lost your job. You're not getting your kids. Your wife is dead. Now your house has burned down. I said, I would grieve. I would question you, but then I would praise you. He said, what would you do if tomorrow you fell down the mountain peak you are on, you're in that valley and you can't crawl anymore even. All you can do is lay there. What would you do? I said, God, I said, I would call upon you and you would carry me through it. He said, exactly. He said, you are going to grow in time. And when you are ready, you're going to see the growth because you are ready. He said, but your church is not ready. You have people in your church right now who, even though they say it, their foundations are in the wrong spot. I had a guy call me the other day. He's like, I'm just done. I look around and I see all this stuff that's supposed to make me happy, and I'm depressed. He said, I don't want this anymore. I just want God. That's all I want. I said, amen. Think about this. Answer this honestly right now. If you were to get a phone call, your job is done. Would you still praise God? Would you still trust in him then? If you were to get a phone call, your kids have all been killed. Would you praise God still? If you were to get a phone call, you just lost all your possessions. Would you still praise God? Here's what it all comes down to. If you say, I could not praise God if he did this, then I'm telling you, your foundation is in the wrong spot. Whether good or bad or in between, we need to be praising God. A good friend of mine, I got a message the other day. A dear friend of mine, Teresa Merrick, a mother of four young kids, lost her battle with cancer. God called her home. Yesterday, at the Brat Fry, as I was grieving, I texted a message to a pastor friend of mine, and I said this, if I can find it. Forget it. What I said was this. I said, I understand God has a purpose and he'll be glorified through this, but I am so in shock because I thought for sure she was going to get healed this side of heaven. I thought for sure she was going to be healed this side of heaven. And right now I'm questioning God. Why? She texted me back and she said, God does have a plan. He said, through her post, as she went through this, you know where her faith never wavered? She said, whether God heals me or God doesn't heal me, I'm fine. It is well with my soul. She said, it is the doubt that keeps us from dying when we go through this. And now we can be a source of comfort. Man, that is having your foundation rooted in the rock. And her husband and her kids, you know what they're doing right now? They're grieving. They're questioning God. But they are rejoicing because their wife and their mother is no longer in pain, but in heaven. There is a song, we sang it, it's based off an old hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." The man who wrote that was a businessman in Chicago. He sent his wife and three daughters ahead of him on a trip to Europe. They went up onto the bow of the ship to ring the bell for 4 o'clock. When another ship came out of nowhere and hit their ship, the girls died. The wife made to England, she sent this message alone to her husband. Ship sunk, I alone survived. He then boarded a ship to leave to join his wife in England. And when he got to the point where the ship went down, he looked over the waters, and this is what he wrote down. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He then went on and met his wife in England. And the Chicago fire happened. And they were told that, you know those businesses you have? They are now all gone. You have no money. You have nothing. You know what he wrote down? He wrote down the last verse. He said, Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. Lord, please come quickly. Come back. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. And then he said, even so, even if it doesn't come while I'm still alive, it is well with my soul. Do you see where his foundation was? His foundation was not in his businesses. His foundation was not in his family. His foundation was not with anything but God. And he said, God, whatever you bring to me, I will praise you. I'm telling you right now, that can only be done if your foundation is built on the rock. That rock won't move. And when you hit that valley and you can't even crawl anymore, are you going to fall back into the arms of God and let him carry you?
This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive.